Where is God? Of course we know that God is omnipresent, which means that he is everywhere present, not in a geographical location. And of course God is not a he, because he is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? The writer of this scripture uses he to refer to God in the same sentence that tells us God is not a man. That's because we have to use language when speaking of something that cannot really be described in language. When speaking to the woman at the well, Jesus let her know that God is spirit and must be related to by the spirit, not as we relate on the physical plane. He also told her about the living water given to us by God as a well of water springing up into everlasting life. On another occasion, Jesus spoke of this living water that would be a river flowing out of our belly, center of our being, inner man. And John adds that Jesus was actually referring to the Holy Ghost. Before the crucifixion, Jesus instructed his disciples concerning this Holy Ghost, which he referred to as the Comforter, and also as the Spirit of Truth that would guide us into all truth. This would be the voice of God speaking to us, showing us all things that the Father has, which is to say, anything that we could ever desire or need for the life characterized by righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, of which the kingdom of God is comprised. The abundant life that Jesus said he came to give us. This is the Spirit that reveals to us the things that God has prepared for us when we are willing to go inside and patiently listen to the still small voice, the things that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. Jesus said that this Holy Spirit, this Comforter, would be in us. And I pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of Truth, for he dwelleth within you and shall be in you. And Paul tells us the same thing. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Indeed, this was foretold long before Jesus told us in Ezekiel. And I will put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And we cannot ignore what Jesus told us about the kingdom of God or heaven and how much God wants to give it to us. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus also let us know that the Father was within him. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. If, therefore, we wish to communicate with God our Father, we must go within where he dwells. For you are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Yesterday morning, I was praying in the Spirit, attempting to hear from God about something that was troubling me. Then I heard the voice of God inside me saying, go inside and listen. No matter what the question, problem, situation, need, or desire, it is only there that you will get your answer or solution. Of course, going inside and listening is not a new practice for me, but it was a revelation and such a great comfort from the Comforter to realize that I needn't ever be concerned about whether or not I can find what I'm seeking. What I am looking for, I already have within me. And as both David and Jesus said, it will always be there. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. Lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. John also reminded us of this truth, that everything we will ever need is inside us, because that is where God is. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught ye, you shall abide in him. I was overwhelmed with the implications of this. No one can ever take this from us. We carry around in our innermost being the righteousness, peace, and joy of God Almighty. We have around-the-clock access to all that God is and has. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. All his wisdom, power, protection, and peace. If I lose something, I don't have to frantically look for it. I just have to get quiet and listen, because I have access to the infinite intelligence or omniscience of God, from whom nothing is hidden. I began to understand how Psalm 91 could become a reality for me. Most importantly for me, I could now for the very first time see how this perfect love from which I can never be separated can cast out all the fear which brings torment. I knew that I could begin to relax and stop seeking to get from someone or something else that which I already have. I can at last really let the government of my life be upon his shoulder, knowing that he is always inside instructing me as to how I should proceed in whatever circumstance I find myself in. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk you in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Of course, since God is omnipresent, I can hear him speak through anyone or anything. But it will still be from going inside and listening that I will know what is and is not the voice of God. No longer will I attempt to get my answers from the reasoning of the human mind, nor will I attempt to get them from the Bible per se, because the letter kills. It is only the spirit of the word that brings life. Jesus himself told us that we search the scriptures hoping to find life, but that they can only lead us to him who is life. He said that it is only the words he speaks to us, not the words that we read, which are life to us. It is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Sad to say, when ordinary people finally gained access to the Bible through the Protestant Reformation and the invention of the printing press, they began to see it as the Word, and began to see the literal reading of it as the final authority on any and every question that would arise in their minds. Out of this came every imaginable doctrine and horrendous practices, such as the witch hunts and the Ku Klux Klan. Countless denominations have been built around scriptures concerning baptism, the treatment of women, music in the church, etc. But, as John tells us, the Bible is not the Word. In the beginning, long before there was a Bible, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Word is God himself, the incorruptible seed from which we were born. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. But, you say, you yourself are quoting from the Bible to confirm the truth of what you are writing. Yes, I am. But I am hearing these scriptures spoken to me from the inside by the Spirit, which is very different from basing my thoughts and actions on something I read in the Bible. Believe me, I know the difference. It's the difference between law and grace. Whatever I hear from outside myself produces the law, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. I remember spanking my children when it was not in my heart to do it because I was taught that that is what the Bible said and I should do and what God expected me to do. I was taught that I could not trust what was in my heart because the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But the Bible also says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. The Bible tells us that God says we are not to kill, and also that God told Moses to stone a man for picking up sticks on the Sabbath. The Bible tells us that God is love, and that love doesn't keep a record of wrongs, and that we are to love, forgive, pray for, and bless our enemies. But most Christians also believe the Bible teaches that God does none of these things, that he assigns his enemies to everlasting torment away from his presence. It's easy to understand how so many conflicting doctrines have come from trying to interpret the Bible with a human mind, with our reasoning faculties. What we inevitably end up with is a bunch of laws, different laws for different doctrines. But when I place no confidence in this natural man, because the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned, and begin to go inside and listen to the Holy Spirit, whose function it is to guide me into all truth, I will experience the grace of God and at long last become dead to the law and bring forth fruit unto God. I will have responded to Jesus' invitation to come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I will have ceased my attempts to get instructions from the wisdom of this world, which is foolishness to God, and only produces the works of the law, by which no one is justified. I will have entered the rest that God has prepared for me, the rest wherein I continually stand still and see the salvation of God. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God, for he that is entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from his.